The scripture for this afternoon is from Matthew chapter 5. We'll be looking at the issue of the taking of oaths from the Westminster Confession, and certainly one of the passages that deals with the issue is Jesus' words in Matthew 5. Verses 33 through 37. So either just listen or read along to this portion of God's Word. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be, yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. When we work our way through the Heidelberg, we come to the third commandment. And in the Westminster Larger Catechism, as we're dealing with the third commandment, we read, third commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, attributes, ordinances, the words, sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, his work, and whatever else is whereby he makes himself known, be holily and reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing. And so, as I thought about oaths and vows, and as they're dealt with in the Heidelberg and in the Westminster Confessions, I thought about the oaths and vows in connection to the Third Commandment, and we're going to look at oaths together briefly this afternoon. I've actually never been in court, other than to observe. But I had heard this before, and so I actually looked it up. The internet is a wonderful thing. To find out what the standard Pennsylvania oath is. And it still derives itself from the original laws of the Commonwealth enacted in 1772. And this is the standard oath in Pennsylvania. Do you swear by Almighty God, the searcher of all hearts, that the evidence you shall give this court in the issue now being tried shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as you shall answer to God on the last great day. I don't know who could perjure themselves after reading that or hearing that, but that is the standard Pennsylvania oath even to this day. And so we're going to look briefly at the issue of oaths and whether or not we may take them, or what they are, and how we're to view the issue. First, what is an oath? Well, the Westminster Confession defines an oath as, or in this way, a lawful oath is a part of religious worship wherein upon just occasion the person swearing solemnly calleth God to witness what he asserteth or promiseth and to judge him according to the truth or falsehood of what he sweareth. James Fisher, in his Catechism on the Catechism, says, an oath is an act in which God is solemnly invoked or called upon as a witness for the confirmation of some matter of doubt. And so when someone makes an oath, we are calling upon God at that time of importance to witness what we are saying is true, or our voluntary taking of an obligation to do something. With the implied judgment of God's disfavor if we lie or if we prove unfaithful to our promise. An oath recognizes the goodness of God and the greatness of God, who knows all things and is perfectly just. And so we are calling on him to witness that promise that is being made. So really a violation of an oath is a violation of the third commandment, as it takes the Lord's name in vain by failing to keep a promise made with him invoked as a witness. Second, taking oaths. The Westminster Confession, chapter 22, continues. The name of God only is that by which men ought to swear, and therein is to be used with all holy fear and reverence. Therefore, to swear vainly or rashly by that glorious and dreadful name, or to swear at all by any other thing, is sinful and is to be abhorred. Yet, as in matters of weight and moment, an oath is warranted by the word of God under the New Testament as well as under the Old, so a lawful oath being imposed by a lawful authority in such matters ought to be taken. Now, the confession tells us that these are good things in matter of importance. The confession also tells us that swearing an oath by anyone or anything other than the one true God is a violation of the first commandment, as it would replace him, and a violation of the second commandment, as it would create an idol to replace him. So we are not to swear by take an oath in the name of any other than the one true God. A.A. Hodge points out, those who swear with hand upon the Bible swear by the God who reveals himself in the Bible, that is, by the true Christian God. And so, by placing your hand on a Bible, as is so often done, you are then claiming the one true God, the God revealed in Scripture, as being the God to whom you are doing this before him as a witness. Scripture shows and approves of the practice of taking such oaths. We are told to swear by the true God, Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. We are forbidden to swear by the name of false gods, Jeremiah 12 and 16. Then if they will really learn the ways of my people to swear by my name as the Lord lives, even as they taught my people to swear by Baal, they shall be built up in the midst of my people. And so there was due harsh criticism for swearing in the name of Baal, of a false god, and oaths are to be made to the one true God alone. There are other limitations in Scripture, such as not taking false oaths, things that are not true when we know them not to be true, or to take them regarding matters that are not weighty or serious. But the taking of oaths is an approved practice in both Testaments. For example, again in Deuteronomy 10 and 20, you shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him and cling to him, you shall swear by his name. Christ himself, when put upon oath, did not hesitate to answer in Matthew 26. The high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, the Apostle Paul appeals to God for the truth of his statements in an oath more than once. One example is 2 Corinthians 1 and 23. He says, I call God as witness to my soul that to spare you I did not come again to Corinth. The author of Hebrews points us to the fact that God himself makes oaths and calls himself as a witness, since there is no higher a person that he can call to witness to what he says. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. And so we have the hope in the promises of the gospel because God has promised them on oath using his own name. Third, what about Matthew 5? All this is important to note because many people misunderstand what Jesus says in Matthew 5, the passage that we read earlier. When Christ says, do not swear, he is certainly not condemning the taking of oaths, a practice approved by Scripture, in which Christ himself and the Father himself practice. Instead, we need to see the statement in a broader context as he is forbidding the making of casual, unnecessary oaths and also by swearing to someone or something that is not the one true God. The Jews in Jesus' day knew that oaths to the Lord had to be kept. They knew the passages that we read earlier. They knew Numbers 30 and 2. If a man makes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And so, to create a loophole, they had developed the practice of swearing by other things, swearing by the earth, or the heavens, or Jerusalem, or the temple, or the gold in the temple. And they would see all of these other oaths more or less as optional or of lesser weight if violated. They would also say such vows for things of low importance when an oath really was just simply not necessary. Just say yes or no and let be good for your word. They'd toss out unnecessary promises by the temple in everyday speech. And Jesus points us to this sort of thing and condemns the Pharisees for it in Matthew 23. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that's sanctified, the gold? Whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And so not only then are we not to swear by anyone or anything other than the one true God, we are not to swear oaths regarding everyday things. We should just let our yes be yes and our no be no and let that be sufficient. We must be people that have their word as their bond and are good for our word and can be taken at our word. Yet certainly the Catechism and the Scripture make note of the fact that there are occasions in which we need to take oaths and we must keep those promises, give true testimony in court, things such as that. The confession goes so far as to say that it is sinful to refuse to take a lawful oath on a right occasion. We wouldn't avoid taking godly oaths as a way of avoiding good and necessary commitments. That ought not to be done. And so we must look at what we are promising. We must look at the oath and the wording of it and thoughtfully approach it and prayerfully approach it. But if the thing being asked for is doable and is right and is not sinful, we should call on God as a witness in these matters. We may and should take oaths in this biblical way. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do praise you and thank you for this theme from your word, and we thank you for your truthfulness, that you are a God of your word. And we thank you that By your grace, we as well can be people of our word. And we do come to occasions wherein we are asked to give an oath and ask for you to come as a witness to what we are saying. We ask that on such occasions we would enter into those necessary oaths with a right and godly fear and to act appropriately. We ask that in all occasions, by your grace and the power of your Spirit, we would be those who are good for our word and do not lie and do not bend the truth to serve our own purposes, but rather that we would be true even as you are true. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.